This is Pastor Emery. I am answering the question, what is Mystery Babylon? We have already seen it is Antichrist. It will kill millions, and it will secretly rule all nations. In Revelation 17 and Jeremiah 50, Bible symbols given to this prophetic Babylon are the color red, the hammer, and the sickle. Quite obviously, the Bible is describing what we know as communism. If so, why do most ministers tell us the Antichrist rule is off in the future when we can see it happening now? And I pray that not too many of my listeners are getting bored with this long series on what is Mystery Babylon. We have been working our way through the 15th through the 18th chapters of the book of Revelation for several months now, which is not too surprising, since so much of the Holy Bible is devoted to the prophecies concerning this destruction of the rule of the wicked over the earth and the then coming reign of righteousness of Jesus Christ over all the people of the earth, often called the Kingdom Age. We have seen that Jeremiah 49 through chapter 51 is a parallel prophecy of the destruction of the world ruling system called Babylon. Last week we read in Obadiah another prophecy which verifies Revelation 17 and 18. In Obadiah, the wicked rulers are identified as the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother, and his Canaanite wives, or the people called Edomites. Edom means red, and the beast and the woman of Revelation 17 are both red, as is the present anti-Christian world force called Bolshevism or Communism. Red Communism has visible control of many of the nations of the world and exerts invisible or secret control of the rest of the world, as many of my listeners already know. But it seems that few churchgoers see the identity of Red Communism in the Bible because very few ministers preach much on Bible prophecy. Peter says, prophecy is as a light that shineth in a dark place. And that is what we are trying to do with these radio broadcasts on prophecy, shine the light of God's Word upon a darkened and sin-sick America. In the last two broadcasts, we saw that here God gave a detailed prophecy of the destruction of Babylon, giving several clues in those three chapters to show that this was not the old city, but something called Babylon at the end of this age and just before the Kingdom Age. Other verses are repeated almost word for word in Revelation 17 and 18, showing the comparison between Revelation 17 and these chapters of Jeremiah, proving this is one of the mysteries now revealed in the scriptures of the prophets. Verse 19 through verse 23 of Jeremiah 51 tells us God will use the Israel people to destroy Babylon, making it more certain this is not the old city of Babylon, for it was not destroyed by Israel, but by another people. Verse 24 says this Babylon will be destroyed because of all the evil they have done in Zion. Since Zion is the land of regathered Israel in the end of this age, this Babylon then must be the same as Mystery Babylon the Great of Revelation 17 and 18. And of course in chapter 50 of Jeremiah and verse 16, we saw Babylon's oppressing sword is called a sickle, and in verse 23, she is called the hammer of the whole earth. The hammer and the sickle, as most of you know, are the self-chosen insignia or signs of the communists, just as red is their chosen color. All the pieces of this seeming jigsaw of Bible prophecy fit current history perfectly. The next verses describe her fall, then verse 44 tells of the destruction of false religion and the deliverance of all nations. And I will punish Bel in Babylon. Bel is another Hebrew word for Baal worship, or the worship of Satan. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more under him, yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. That wall of Babylon, or the protecting device of Babylon, by the way, is described in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, and if you will read it closely, you will see It is a description of the United Nations. The UN building itself actually looks like a wall, or as the Hebrew word in Ezekiel 13 means, a part of a wall. And the United Nations is the place of the flowing together of all nations under the red beast of world communism. Many of you know that the UN is Antichrist and will allow no mention of Jesus Christ in its deliberations. It serves to work out plans for the destruction of any vestige of Christianity in each nation as the communists take complete control. The UN is upset with South Africa and Rhodesia because they won't let Negroes vote, but the UN was silent when Russia, Jewish Israeli, and Great Britain armed the Nigerians a few years ago, and they killed 1 million Igbo tribesmen in Nigeria in Africa. It wasn't even mentioned in UN debate for over a year and a half, and most Americans don't even know yet today that the Igbo tribesmen were the only Negro tribe in all of Africa which had adopted the Christian religion as a tribe. They put away their idols over 40 years ago. I talked about it on the radio at the time, but as far as I know, I was the only radio preacher in America publicly protesting the slaughter of these Negro Christians. The American news media spent months and millions of dollars worth of newspaper space and other millions of dollars of TV and radio time publicizing the killing of 100 Vietnamese by American soldiers at My Lai, but they did not have space to cover the murder and starvation of 1 million Negroes in Africa, just as they now have no space to tell us of the current slaughter of perhaps 1 million Cambodians by the Red Beast of Revelation 17. Red Babylon is devouring the nations of the earth. God says in Jeremiah, I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up. At that same time, God says, I will punish Baal in Babylon. Baal means Baal worship, the Antichrist religion of the god Baal and his wife Ashtoreth, condemned by God in the Old Testament. With the destruction of Mystery Babylon, all false worship will also be destroyed. And I should interject here, most Christians have been told that communism is atheistic, that communism is against all religions. That is only half true, and a half-truth is much more effective than a lie many times. It certainly is in this case. Red communism is actually a religion. Unknown to most Christians, communism is the religion of Baal. Most Christians don't know that because they don't know what Baal worship was or is. I don't want to add a half dozen more broadcasts to this series to cover that subject, but I do have 2 90-minute cassette Bible studies titled, There Are Baal Worshippers in America. And this goes into this subject in great detail. There are 13 specific rituals and doctrines of the religion of Baal described in the Bible and on this tape. I list them, show where they are in the Bible, and show how they are carried out by many people right here in America, right under our noses, and there probably isn't one churchgoer in 100, perhaps even 1,000, who recognizes them for what they are. In Jeremiah 51, as God promises in verse 44 to end Baal worship, he issues the same call to his people that we read in Revelation 18. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Now notice here, God isn't telling us to flee from Babylon to escape the anger of Red Communism or the Red Babylonians, but to escape God's anger when he brings judgment on them. My family and I left a major denomination some years ago, before I went into the ministry, after we discovered that the denomination's official rule book for its ministers stated that one of their major missions was to prevent criticism of the United Nations. We knew, as I know today, that the United Nations is a communist organization, and millions of Christians still attend that denomination's churches, most of them blissfully ignorant that the minister has been trained to act as a protective agent for the little wall of Babylon, the United Nations. But God says, the wall of Babylon shall fall. That many ministers will be secret supporters of Babylon seems evident from verse 51 in Jeremiah, where the prophet speaks of the people as saying, we are confounded because we have heard reproach, shame hath covered our faces. In other words, when they found out what was actually happening, they were ashamed. And here is what was happening. For strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Yes, strangers, enemies of Christ and the Christians, are in the churches of Jesus Christ in Zion at the end of the age. So, coming out of Babylon must, of necessity, mean coming out of the rituals and doctrines of Baal, for Baal was the god of Babylon. I have only a few moments left, and I want to read part of a 200-year-old document to my radio listeners, so I'm going to stop there for today. Next week, God willing, we'll finish the last few verses of Jeremiah 51, and then go to Revelation 18. I have said a number of times on these radio broadcasts, and have been preaching for many years, that America is the Zion of Bible prophecy, that we are the great nation promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because of that, we are the target, the intended victim of the red beast of Revelation, Antichrist world communism. To be Zion, we would have to be a nation founded on the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. And we are. America alone, of all the nations of history, had a Christian beginning. We weren't pagan or heathen, and then converted to Christianity. Christ was laid at the foundation, at the beginning, fulfilling Isaiah 28:16, where God said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Jesus Christ was to be the foundation of Zion. That it would be laid in a nation, but not a Jewish one, was prophesied by Jesus Christ in Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43, where Jesus said to the Jewish Pharisees, did ye ever read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Wherefore say I unto you, or unto you Jewish Pharisees, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. What I have to read to you is a resolution of the United States Continental Congress, and this is from the journals of the Continental Congress. On Monday, June 12, 1775, quote, the Congress met according to adjournment, the committee appointed for preparing a resolve for a fast brought in a report, which being read was agreed to as follows. And then this is the actual resolution adopted by the Continental Congress on June 12, 1775. As the great governor of the world, by his supreme and universal providence, not only conducts the course of nature with unerring wisdom and rectitude, but frequently influences the minds of men to serve the wise and gracious purposes of his providential government, and it being at all times our indispensable duty devoutly to acknowledge his superintending providence, especially in times of impending danger and public calamity, to reverence and adore his immutable justice as well as to implore his merciful interposition for our deliverance, this Congress, therefore, considering the present critical, alarming, and calamitous state of these colonies, do earnestly recommend that Thursday, the 20th day of July next, be observed by the inhabitants of all the English colonies on this continent as a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may, with united hearts and voices, unfeignedly confess and deplore our many sins, and offer up our joint supplications to the all-wise, omnipotent, and merciful disposer of all events, humbly beseeching him to forgive our iniquities, to remove our present calamities, to avert those desolating judgments with which we are threatened, and to bless our rightful sovereign, King George III, and to inspire him with wisdom to discern and pursue the true interests of all his subjects, that a speedy end may be put to the civil discord between Great Britain and the American colonies, and so on. And then it goes on at some further length, asking for God to bless them with righteousness and justice in the colonies, and to bless the king and the parliament in their deliberations, and so on. Then they end it this way: that virtue and true religion may revive and flourish throughout our land, and that all America may soon behold a gracious interposition of heaven for the redress of her many grievances, the restoration of her invaded rights, a reconciliation with the parent state on terms constitutional and honorable to both, and that her civil and religious privileges may be secured to the latest posterity. And it is recommended to Christians of all denominations to assemble for public worship and to abstain from servile labor and recreation on said day. And that was the end of the resolution itself. It was adopted by the Continental Congress this way: ordered that a copy of the above be signed by the President and attested by the Secretary and published in the newspapers and in handbills. End of quote from the journals of the Continental Congress of Monday, June 12, 1775. Now, here is a further quote about that fast from a book, The History of the United States, by David Ramsay, published in 1816, and this is in Volume 2, page 18. The author of that history says, quote, "Coeval with the resolutions for organizing an army was one appointing the 20th day of July, 1775, a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer to Almighty God." And then the author quotes a portion of the resolution which I have just read, and then he says of the actual carrying out of that fast, quote, "Since the fast of the Ninevites, recorded in sacred writ, perhaps there has not been one which was more generally kept with suitable disposition than that of July 20th, 1775. It was no formal service. The whole body of the people felt the importance, the weight, and the danger of the unequal contest in which they were about to engage, that everything dear to them was at stake, and that a divine blessing only could carry them through it successfully. This blessing they implored with their whole souls, poured forth in ardent supplications, issued from hearts deeply penetrated with a sense of their unworthiness, their dependence, and their danger, and at the same time impressed with an humble confidence in the mercies and goodness of that being who had planted and preserved them hitherto amid many dangers in the wilderness of a new world." End of quote from the History of the United States, published in 1816. And that fast was carried out, as were others in the early colonies. Was America founded by Christians on Jesus Christ? Yes, obviously it was. Christ was laid as the foundation of Zion. That was 200 years ago, on July 20th, 1775, and about a year after that, more prophecy was fulfilled when a nation was born in a day, on July 4th, 1776. And God began to fulfill Isaiah 60, verse 22, "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time." This and scores of other prophetic passages reveal the past, current, and future history of the United States of America, God's country, the Zion of Bible prophecy. Until next week, when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bible and pray for Christian America.